Good evening. We're doing our class, Judaism from Head to Toe. Last week we had a class off the record about the laws of Negiyah, the prohibitions of, and the parameters of when Jewish men are instructed, and Jewish women, to limit or to abstain from touching someone of the opposite gender. So that was last week. Tonight we're going to continue that topic a little bit with the laws of Yichud. The laws of Yichud, they're very practical laws. In a nutshell, what the halacha says is, don't allow yourself to be in a setting where you're alone with someone of the opposite gender where something inappropriate could happen. That's in a nutshell, that's the laws of Yichud. If you think someone could walk in on you any minute, you're in the doctor's office and the nurse could walk in any minute, you're sitting in an office and there are people in the cubicles nearby and they could walk in any minute. If there are scenarios where people could walk in, so our assumption is that our behavior will reflect that. And so when we speak about the laws of Yichud, that's a quick shortcut to the laws of Yichud. Now, let's analyze a little bit more closely what the Torah is telling us. Very often when we look at the laws of Yichud, we're tempted to say, what could happen? Why do I have to worry something might happen? And why do I have to be so sensitive and so careful? Well, world history has taught us that things happen. And things happened when there was a young prince who was lying in bed sick, and he asked for someone to make him food, and she came in and made him food, and then when he was left alone with her, he raped her. And it was none other than David HaMelech's son, Amnon, and it was none other than his own sister, Tamar. And so Chazal say, although the Torah prohibits Yichud with regards to a woman that's prohibited upon us, meaning a married woman, the prohibition of Yichud is midoraita, it's biblical. If it's a woman that we're prohibited to, so then the prohibition of Yichud is biblical. David HaMelech, when that happened, he convened his court and they expanded it. Even a woman you might marry, she's not prohibited to, you're on a date. But don't go hiking in a place where you're going to be all alone. I was once on a date, and we were sitting at the entrance to Shaarei Tzedek. They have nice sofas there, and we had gone to visit someone who was sick in the hospital. And then after the date, we're sitting, after we visited that person, so we sat there in the lobby. And after like 20 minutes, the date went normal. And then 20-minute time lapse goes by where I don't notice anyone walking by. So I said to the young lady, I said, you know, I haven't noticed anyone coming by here in the last like 20 minutes. What do you know what happened? So she says, yeah, at 9 o'clock at night, they close the third floor entrance. And you have to enter from the first floor entrance. So this floor becomes a cemetery at this hour. So I said, but no one comes, everything's closed, no going in, no going out, nothing. She said, no. At this hour, there's nothing doing here. No one comes to this floor anymore. I said, then we're not allowed to stay here. And Yichud, if no one comes to the floor, even though technically I'm in a public place, but if this is a floor that no one comes to at this hour, we have to leave. So she got scared. She got up and ran. I said, you know, Salah, let's go find somewhere else. So she said, I'll meet you in the emergency room. Right? And that's where we continued our date, in the emergency room. Two flights down was the emergency acceptance, where people came in for emergency. So that was bustling. But the laws of Yichud are not because a person feels like, oh no, I'm about to lose control, I'm going to do something wrong, or oh no, this person cannot be trusted, who knows what they're going to do. The laws of Yichud are, make sure you're not in a situation where something could happen. A person never knows what he might think, what someone else might think, what could happen. Rabbi Meir, he was so big that the rabbi said whoever saw him became a bigger person. Rabbi Meir was the super genius who compiled our Mishnah. Rabbi Meir used to travel every year. And when he traveled, there was a certain man who loved having the rabbi over. Yes, Rabbi Meir Balanes. There was a man who loved having him over for a meal, and whenever Rabbi Meir would come to town, he'd rush out and say, Rabbi, please stay at my house. And this went on for years. And one year Rabbi Meir gets there, and he notices that things are different. He asks the guy, what's different in your house? The guy says, oh, my first wife passed away. I got remarried. So Rabbi Meir says, okay. He doesn't want to say anything. And the woman of the house makes sure to bring him a lot of alcohol. And he felt he couldn't say no. And she got him all intoxicated. Every time she'd serve him something with alcohol, she'd serve the table and bring him another cup of alcohol. And by the time nighttime came, Rabbi Meir was gone. And the next morning he wakes up and he sees the woman of the house, and the man of the house isn't there. So he asks, where's your husband? So she says, ooh, he left a long time ago. So he goes, okay, I'll leave in a second. She goes, sweetie, where are you going? And she puts her arm on him and he says, what are you doing? And she says, last night you had no problems with me touching you and you touching me. Now you're suddenly so pious? So he goes, what are you talking about? And she says, you and I did everything together. And he goes, what do you mean? You're a married woman. What do you mean, you and I? What are you talking about? And she says, oh, you want me to tell you? You have a mole in your lower inner left thigh. And he's scared. He says, what do you mean? How do you know that? She says, I told you. You were out, and once you were drunk, there was no holds barred. We did everything together. So Rabbi Meir grabbed his clothing, ran out of the house, and ran to the Beis Medrash and said, Rabbi, tell me what I'm supposed to do. She says, I committed adultery with her. I don't remember anything. But she's telling me things about myself that she had no way of knowing if it isn't true. So there are two versions to the end of the story. One version goes that Rabbi Meir spent the rest of his life doing tshuva, saying, how could this have happened that I did such a thing? And he did all kinds, he accepted upon himself all kinds of things to do tshuva because he was devastated over what she said had happened. The other version goes that one of the rabbis said to him, you don't know that anything happened. And he says, what do you mean? How would she know that? And the rabbi said, well, it could be if you were so down and out that you weren't so careful about your modesty when you lay down, that you weren't so careful to cover yourself the way you should. And she just came in at night and she was able to see you uncovered. So then she's telling you everything else happened. You have no way of knowing that it really happened. She's telling you something happened. You don't know. And there's no reason for you to think it happened. Just because she was able to identify marks on your body. And then Rabbi Meir verified, and it was true, that the woman had made it all up. That was two versions to the end of the story. One version is she didn't make it up. One version is that two versions in the Medrash. What really happened there? So a person can say, I'm fine and dandy. What will happen if a person drinks more than they meant to? What will happen if the girl drinks more than she intended to? What will happen under all kinds of scenarios? And a person never knows. So we have a system. And the greatness of a system is that you don't have to think too much. And that way you don't run into trouble. You don't have to think too much. There's a system. This is how we run things. And we don't do different. So it keeps us out of trouble. The women in Kochav Yaakov know that if they want to meet with me, they have three options. They can meet with me with my wife present in the room. They can meet with me with their husband present in the room. Or they can meet with me in a public place like the Tachana Merkazit. They cannot meet me at home where my wife is in another room, or my wife could show up, or their husband could show up, or in their house when their husband could show up. That can't happen. I mean, there are rules, and we establish these rules so that there's no room for something for someone to by mistake. We're all human. The greatness of halacha is that the halacha tells us, recognize you're human, recognize you have weaknesses, recognize that man is naturally attracted to a woman, recognize you have moments of weakness, and it could be that right now you're strong and you tell yourself, I would never do that, I could stand up to every test in the world, and you don't know. The Talmud tells us Yosef was such a tzaddik, right? Yosef was a tzaddik. He could have had all 12 tribes come of him. Yet there was one day, after years, that he put up with the tests, and he stood up to the test, right? The master's wife kept trying to seduce him, and even though his master was a eunuch, and she begged him, what's the big deal? Come on, you'll help him, we'll have kids together, right? She tries to seduce him in every direction under the sun, And at the end, there was one day where Yosef caved in. Right? That day that Yosef came home, Vayihi Hayom, there finally came that day, the day of Rosh Hashanah, where Yosef decides, I'm gone. That's it. I'm going to do it. And in the last moment, he changes his mind. Well, how many people at the last moment didn't change their mind? Right? We're all human. So the laws of Yichud are there to help us ensure that we don't find ourselves in the test. That's the laws of Yichud. And it's halacha. Part of it is Toraita, is biblical. Some of it is rabbinic. So let's quickly go over a few scenarios and see. In a minute we'll get to you. So scenario number one. If a woman's husband is in town and he could show up any minute, so our assumption is there's no Yichud because her husband could walk in any minute. It still might not be recommended to put yourself in that scenario. But technically, halachically, if her husband could walk in any minute, that's what's called in halacha, ba'ala be'ir, her husband's in town. Now, in town doesn't mean he's working at the other end of town. You know he's there and it'll take him 45 minutes to get back home. That's not called ba'ala be'ir. Ba'ala be'ir means he's around. He could show up. He could technically show up any minute. So that's... He's somewhere. I don't know if he's around the block or 25 minutes away or 45 minutes away or a minute away. He's around. He could show up. So if he could show up, so then there's no problem of Yichud. I'm allowed to do work in that house. I'm allowed to be the computer technician. I'm allowed to be the plumber, etc. The next area is if there's more than one man present, it must be a kosher man. Meaning the idea that it's someone who wouldn't do such a thing, someone you can trust. So if a person says, can I go to a certain bar? Well, it depends. Are there decent people in that bar? If in that bar people are indecent so that you could have 30 people in the bar, but 30 people who are not embarrassed from one another to do things that are prohibited, then even though there are 30 people in the bar, it's prohibited to walk in there. It's called yichud. You're there with women, and you're in a scenario where the 30 people around you wouldn't be embarrassed to do inappropriate things. So then that's not called, I'm in a public place. That's the same thing. They used to have these big screens. I don't remember what they're called. Drive-in theaters, right? Or they have these places off the highway, scenic sites where people park their car. And people do everything there. No one's embarrassed from the next guy. So people do anything you can imagine out there in their cars. So what are you going to say? It's not yichud. Anyone can show up. If I'm in a place where no one's embarrassed from one another, so that's still called yichud. So then you wouldn't be allowed to go with your date to one of these scenic outlooks. Just because other people are showing up, that doesn't make it not yichud. In a car, our assumption is so long as people can see inside the car, so there's no problem of yichud. You're driving on a highway, all the headlights are shining in, you have no problem of yichud. What happens if you're driving your date and you decide you're going to take the shortcut through the woods to bring her home? Now you're in the woods. No one's around. Yeah, but we'll be out of the woods in 2 minutes. That's still yichud. That's prohibited. I'm in a place where we're all alone. But on the highway, I could pull off the highway. Right. If you would pull off the highway, that might be yichud. So long as you're on the highway, so long as you're in a place with public people, that's not yichud. Nighttime, still, the cars, the headlights cause that you could see one another. We at Kochav Yaakov, so we have a 2 minute drive when you leave the yeshuv till you hit the main street. And very often, down at the beginning of that street that leads up to our yeshuv, there are people who need rides up. So most hours of the day, you're not alone on the street. People would show up any minute, it's not in yichud. But at 3-4 o'clock in the morning, you could be alone on that street. So then you run into a question of yichud. Can you pick up, if a girl is asking for a ride up the block, can you give her a ride? So the key would be, tell her, let's wait till another car comes behind me, and we'll drive up together, because then you have someone behind you who can see into your car as you're driving. What about being in an office? So sometimes offices get locked. You work in a public building, the front door gets locked, and you can only come in with the code. So if you know that it's 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, there are people who come in, so then you're not alone. Technically, people could come in. But if you know full well that when you work late hours, no one shows up past 8 o'clock, and if someone were to come in, they'd have to punch in a code, and you would hear them long before they showed up to your office, so then it's yichud. You can't stay alone. Many people will sometimes bring in, if they're working on an off day, let's say they want to work in the office on Friday, on Matzei Shabbos, you're an accountant in tax season, you have to work late hours, sometimes people will bring in a child with them. Our assumption is that a child who isn't interested in doing things that are inappropriate, 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, but if they see something inappropriate, they're going to talk about it. So then that precludes yichud. This comes up with babysitters. I have a 13-year-old son, and sometimes he's not the babysitter. But sometimes he'll come home and he'll go to sleep while there's a babysitter there. He's out, he's going to come home. But there's a young lady, 15 years old, in the house. So you'll say, but all the kids are there. But all the kids are supposed to be sleeping. Sleeping people don't preclude yichud. It's still yichud if he's awake alone at home with the 15-year-old babysitter, but he's 13 and she's 15. Right? It's still a problem of yichud. But his sister's around, but she's supposed to be sleeping. Sleeping people don't preclude yichud. You will get engaged, Be'ezrat Hashem. And you will have this wonderful desire to talk to your fiancé. And sometimes you will actually stay up late talking. And it might be Friday night, and you'll be at her parents' house, and you're not yet married, so you're prohibited in Negiah, and you're prohibited in Yichud, and you're sitting there schmoozing at her parents' house, and one by one, people fall asleep. And at the early hour of 1 o'clock in the morning, everyone, for whatever reason, decides they have to go to sleep, and you and she are in the heat of a discussion. You have a problem of yichud. Sleeping people don't preclude yichud. And the final point is, in the laws of yichud, the laws of yichud are the minimum. They're not the maximum. Meaning a person has to notice, if it's a scenario, the Gemara brings the story, one of the rabbis had the title chassid. Right? He was very pious. He had the title chassid. Not every rabbi got that title. And one time, there was a young lady, his daughter-in-law, that was staying at his attic. And everyone left, and he suddenly took this ladder, which ordinarily took 4 or 5 people to carry, and he brought it to the attic to start climbing up. He got very excited.
I thought it was because they rescued a bunch of captives.
And as he was on his way up the ladder, he stopped himself, and he started yelling, "Fire, fire!" Everyone came in, "Where's the fire?" And he said, "Right here." So they said, "What do you mean?" He says, "I was about to do something really bad." So they said, "Aren't you embarrassed? You're certainly embarrassing us," his student said. And he said, "You're right. The better I be embarrassed and you be embarrassed right here, then we all be embarrassed when we get up there. We have to catch ourselves." He saw he was about to do something very wrong. So he caught himself. Said, let other people show up. The Gemara says there was once a rabbi who had a guest over, another rabbi. The only thing is, the guest was an old childhood friend of the wife. So the rabbi didn't leave for yeshiva that morning. So they asked him, "Why don't you leave? You're in town, you could show up any minute. We began with Ba'ala Be'ir, when the husband's around, there's no problem of yichud." He said, "That's only with a regular stranger. But he and she, they're old-time friends from their childhood. So if they're old-time friends, then it doesn't help that I'm in town. They feel so comfortable with one another. You have to be more careful with the laws of yichud." So this is relevant when you get engaged. You can't say, when you get engaged, we're adhering to the minimum laws of yichud. No, you have to go up a notch. Watch yourself more than that, because you're good friends by then, right? And then you have to be more careful with the laws of yichud. So the laws of yichud, that's a quick overview of the laws. There's no problem going in an elevator with a lady. Our assumption is that elevators, with a second's notice, they could stop at a floor and someone can walk in. If 2 seconds notice, it precludes yichud, because at any given moment, someone can walk in on you. So there's no problem of yichud. That's a quick overview. Yes, Elio, Erev Tov. In yichud, so a brother and a sister have no problem of yichud short term. If they're going to be together, they're not allowed to be alone together for a long period of time. And our assumption is that over a week is wrong. Our assumption is that up to a week is okay. This comes up sometimes when siblings, parents sometimes go on vacation or parents leave the country. So sometimes siblings are together. If a brother and sister want to share a dorm, they should have other people there. It shouldn't be just the brother and the sister. Even though ordinarily we assume that brothers and sisters aren't interested in one another. But if you leave them alone in a place for long enough, then things can happen. So the halacha says up to a short period of time. As we discussed in the laws of Negia, if a person knows that he has a Yetzer Hara for something, so even though the halacha says most people don't have a Yetzer Hara for their sister, but then he should take more precautions. Meaning the laws of Yichud are the minimum. When a person sees he has a weakness for someone, then they have to take more steps to stay distant from that person.
Regarding the case of
I gave a solution. I said stay with her. She could, and until the next car comes. What? In our scenario, it's not such an issue because the place where they stand is a gas station. So there's someone there all the time. So you can be with her. She could even come into the car until another car comes, and then you'll drive up with that other car. On the way to?
You see a Jewish girl.
What, if it's such pikuach nefesh, then why is she there? Saying, you're telling me be lenient because it's pikuach nefesh. And I'm saying, if she thought it was pikuach nefesh, then why'd she go there?
Every single hitchhiker in this country knows that there's a problem and that there's a security issue. They still do it because that's the way to get her out.
Okay, so you want the halacha to be lenient where the person put themselves into... It's not so simple to say what you're saying. Because when the person does it, they're saying, I don't think it's dangerous, that's why I'm doing it. So you want to say, no. Rabbi, you consider it dangerous even though the person doesn't. The person puts himself in that scenario daily, but you, Rabbi, you tell me to be lenient because you should consider it dangerous. I should consider it dangerous when the hitchhiker doesn't? It's a little bit difficult. You know, I was on a bus... that traveled to Psagot, and when the buses enter our region, they shut their lights because there aren't that many street lights out. So if the light on the inside is on, so then they don't see that well through their mirrors, and their front windshield starts having a reflection because outside it's dark and inside it's light. So I'm on the bus and no one boards the bus. There's an Arab driver and me and a young lady sitting in the back. So, as we're traveling, we're about to reach the checkpoint of Chizmeh, and I realized that if he shuts the light, then technically I have a problem of Yichud. I'm alone with this young lady. The Arab doesn't preclude Yichud, and no one else can see what's going on in the bus once he shuts the lights. So I asked him just before we reached the last stop where he shuts off the light, I said, you know, I'm learning. Will it bother your driving if you leave the light on while I'm learning? That way I could continue learning. He said, no, I have no problem with it. I can drive fine with the light on. I leave it on for you. So I said, fine. Thank you. Now, we approach the stop where I get off. And the young lady is going to stay alone with the Arab driver.
Oy.
So I went to the back and I said to her, you know, I get off at the next stop. And at that stop, there are many people who go up to Psagot and you could catch a ride. I don't know if you want to stay alone with this driver. And she's like, goodbye. So now, I sat there thinking, should I stay on the bus? So that she doesn't have Yichud. But she's not concerned. So now I have to turn my whole night upside down. When he could stop the bus anywhere along the route and do whatever he wants, right? Technically. But she's alone with him in a dark bus. The fact that he's driving, so you can say that just like a doctor, very often we have a rule, lo mora umanuse, that a doctor very often knows if he'll do A or B or C, he will destroy his livelihood. So that plays in. I wasn't sure that plays in with an Arab bus driver. I don't know. So I was debating with myself, but that goes back to your question. When a person says, I'm not concerned, so do I have to change everything in order to be concerned for them?